her back scraping against the wall. And then it all went quiet. It was quiet except for our breathing, silent enough that I heard her crying before I felt the tears falling down my neck. I heard her crying before I felt her shaking in my arms. I lifted my head, and Phoebe tightened her arms around my neck like I was anchoring her. I blinked, not knowing what the fuck to do. As gently as I could, I brought my hand to her face and moved her head from the crook in my shoulder. Phoebe resisted at first, but gave way when I said, "Red, look at me." Her cheeks were flooded with tears, the pale skin marked with black from her eye makeup. Her red lipstick was smudged across her face. Her tits were out of her ruined top, and her hair was a mess. She was breaking my goddamn heart.
"They will let me see her now,"
she slurred quietly.
"If I am successful, they will let me hold her hand."
"What the—" I brushed the tears off her cheeks with my thumb. She took hold of my hand with her shaking fingers and brought it to her lips, and I felt as though I'd taken a punch to the face. She stared at the broken skin of my knuckles from the fight, kissed over the smear of blood. I didn't know if it was mine or belonged to someone else. She dropped my hand and gazed at the floor. I stared at her downturned head, and fuck if I didn't hold her that much tighter. She was broken, lost. Her words from earlier in the week circled my head. I didn't know how long I stayed against the wall just holding her. But eventually all the liquor she'd consumed took its toll, and her forehead fell onto my shoulder. Her breathing evened out, and she fell asleep. I pulled out from inside her and fastened up my jeans with one hand. Phoebe shifted in my arms, but she didn't wake. I carried her through to my bedroom and laid her down on my bed. I pulled the comforter over her almost naked body. When I looked down at her, looking like some fucked up, lost whore, a piece of me died. The sleeves of her top were ripped, showing her scars from the needles. And now we were out of the bar, I could smell the scent of liquor evaporating in waves off her skin. I pulled off my shirt and cut and tossed them to the floor. As I walked into the bathroom, I caught my reflection in the mirror, and I froze. The skin on my cheeks, neck, chest, and upper back was scratched to fuck and red with blood. Phoebe's lipstick was smeared across my face. My eyes were dark. And as I took a step forward, I was no longer looking at AK, a brother of the hangman. Looking right back at me was Xavier Diaz, sniper in the Marines, special ops. I knew this fucker and regarded him with nothing but hate. This fucker lived with death in his eyes, and I thought I'd put him to bed years ago. Clearly Red could nudge him awake. Frustrated, not wanting to see his face, I clenched my fist and slammed it into the glass. It shattered in my sink. And suddenly, I couldn't breathe. My chest tightened. The lack of the breath I couldn't catch creeping up on me like a weight bearing down on my ribcage. I backed up to the tub and sat on the edge. My hands were shaking. My always steady sniper hands couldn't be calmed. I dropped my head forward and a barrage of images came racing forward. Blood and screams and anger, anger that burned so hot and bright it transformed me. Then helplessness, sadness, and motherfucking guilt. So much guilt that I could taste its bitterness on my tongue. Forcing myself to get my shit together, I stood and wiped the lipstick off my mouth with my forearm and wiped the blood off my knuckles into my jeans. I soaked a towel in water and went back to the bedroom. Sitting on the edge of the bed, I started wiping the black and red off Phoebe's face. As the makeup gave way to her pale skin and freckles, I couldn't help but relax a little. Fuck knows why she would ever cover up those freckles. I cleaned her face until there was nothing left but her. Phoebe. I dressed her in my sweatpants and clean black hangman shirt and covered her back up. For 20 minutes, I stared down at her, sleeping. I thought of all the liquor she'd stolen this week and realized that since she'd last been here, screaming and smashing up my room as she came off the heroin, she hadn't been sober. "What is it you can't face?" I asked her as I leaned over where she lay. She didn't wake, and I didn't want her to. Like this, she was at peace. Awake? It seemed she was just as fucked as me. Sleep. I pressed a kiss to her forehead. Her pale skin was cool under my lips. I took my smokes from my back pocket and headed out of the door. Leaning against the outside wall of the cabin, I dropped down to my ass. I kept my head down as I took drag after drag of my smoke. I sat in silence, just fucking thinking. Thinking about shit I never wanted to think about again. The only time I stopped was when I heard feet move into the clearing. I heard the low murmur of voices, then a door close. I sensed them standing before me, so I lifted my head. Vike and Flame were staring at me. I saw Ash go into Flame's cabin with Maddie, leaving me and my brothers alone. I leaned my head back against the wall and stared at them both. Flame was rocking on his feet, and fuck if that didn't make me feel even more guilt. He was looking at me like he didn't know me. Lost. Confused. Suddenly all I could see was the young Flame from years ago in that nut house, in the bed opposite my brother. And I could see his black eyes as he watched Vike and me break in. His stare as dead and still as his body as he lay in that damn bed. His frame was thin, and his arms were tied down. He had about as much life as Devon had had. And when I'd seen him look at me, actually look into my eyes, I had to help him. "I'm sorry," I croaked. The brother froze. His gaze dropped to the ground, and his eyes moved from side to side, thinking over what I'd said. I didn't know how to say it. My head. I breathed deep. It's fucked up right now. "We're your brothers," Flame said, and I knew that was him asking why the fuck I'd turned on them. "You're my, he was struggling with what to say, but I knew I was his family. The one that got him here, and I'd never let him down before. But by the ache in my gut, I knew I'd let him down now. I swore I never would, especially not Flame. He didn't know how to deal with that shit. "Never again," I promised. His tight face slackened with relief. I looked at Vike. "I fucked up." Vike shook his head and walked to my side. He sat down beside me. Flame came and sat on my other side. "I didn't know you were into the bitch." Vike stared straight across the clearing. "I wouldn't have gone nearer if I did. Thought you just wanted her safe." "I know," I said, feeling completely drained of energy. "She makes you different," Flame said, in his usual emotionless tone. "She makes you like you were before." I winced, knowing that Flame only ever spoke the truth. I winced because I knew it was true. "She reminds you of all that, doesn't she?" Vike said, not a note of humor in his voice. "I never forgot it," I said, admitting it for the first time. Just managed to bury that shit deep enough that it didn't show. It was always gonna resurface at some point. "You see it all when you're with her," Flame said. "Yeah." I tried to swallow the lump in my throat. I sighed and flicked my smoke to the floor. "I'm tired. I'm just so tired of never sleeping, never closing my eyes because of the shit I see when I do. being unable to think of anything in my past because I can't fucking deal. Fike gripped my shoulder and squeezed. I dropped my head so I didn't break down like a pussy. I'm gonna take her to the lodge, I said. I felt Vike stiffen. Flame hissed through his teeth. No. Yes, I argued. She needs to get away and get clean for good. She needs to deal with all her shit away from here, even from her sister. I saw it in her eyes. She's fucking lost, and she won't cope if she stays here. You ain't been back to that lodge since, Vike said. I know, but it's private, and it will be good for her, isolated. We're coming. Flame went to move, no doubt to get Mads. I knew better than to reach out and pull him back. No, I said. He turned back to me, his muscles tense. I'm going alone. But, Flame, I am. This, I shook my head. Fuck, brother, I need it too. I inhaled deeply. I'm gonna break if I don't. I can feel it happening again. I ain't got the strength to stop it anymore. I don't like it, he said roughly. I know. When you going? Vike asked. Now. I pushed to my feet. The door to Maddie's cabin opened, and Ash stepped out for a smoke. Immediately, his worried eyes fell on me. I flicked my chin and said, Get the fuck here, kid. Ash made his way over, hands in his pockets. I put my hand on the back of his head and pulled him in. I was a dick, I said, and kissed his head. I let him go, and he looked up at me. It's all right. It ain't. I just lost it, kid. Shouldn't have happened. I glanced back at Flame and Vike. I'm going away for a while. Look after the cabin for me, yep? Sure, Ash paused, then asked, For how long? Don't know, as long as I need to. I took the truck's keys from my pocket and threw them at Ash. Check the oil and shit for me, kid, would you? I'm leaving soon. Yeah, okay. Ash walked away. Tanner said something to me tonight, I said to Viking Flame. Meister knows it was us, or suspects it. Tanner thinks there could be shit coming to our door. Fuck, Vike said. He nodded. We'll look into it. I made my way back to my cabin to gather my shit and get Phoebe. I'll catch you when we're back. In 15 minutes, I had my bag packed and in the truck. I went back to the bedroom, lifted Phoebe up in my arms and carried her outside. I laid her down on the seat and got in the driver's side. Vike and Flame came to my door. You call if you need us, yeah? Vike said. Yeah. I nodded at Flame. I knew he wasn't happy. Then I pulled away from the clearing, out of the compound and onto the road. I kept the music off as Phoebe slept. 30 minutes in, she shifted in her sleep, her hand spreading out to lie across my thigh. I looked down at her hand, at her fingers lying open. I didn't know what the fuck came over me, but I moved one of my hands from the wheel and threaded my fingers through hers. Her hands looked tiny and frail wrapped in mine, and for the first time in days, I took what felt like a real fucking breath. And I gripped onto her as we drove closer to the lodge, where too many demons waited. So I just fucking held on.
Chapter 13. Phoebe. I felt the weight of my eyelids before I even opened my eyes. It was hot, and my hair was sticking to my face. My cheek was stuck to whatever I was lying on. It smelled like leather. I moaned as soon as I tried to move. My head ached and my temples throbbed. I lifted my hand to my head and rolled onto my back. I inhaled a sharp breath when that little bit of movement caused nausea to creep up my stomach. I tried to stay still, praying it would go, but I had no such luck. Scrambling to my knees, I opened my eyes and winced at the sun creeping into wherever I was. My hands fumbled around me, and I realized I was in a truck. My fingers found the lever of the door. They yanked it open and dropped my feet onto the dirt ground. I had barely felt the warm, sticky air on my face when I had to curl over and expel whatever was in my stomach. I held onto my hair as I purged, my eyes watering. When the need to vomit had ebbed, I stood up on shaky feet. The world spun, and my head felt clammy. I closed my eyes to stop myself falling over. I rested my back against the side of the truck and concentrated on my breathing. The minute I did, I thought of her. My face scrunched up in agony, but I welcomed the pain that came. It was my punishment, my reward for letting her down. "Where is she?" I asked Martha. My skin was still wet from my shower and it was late. Too late, really, but I had done well, and so Brother John had given me permission to seek her out. I had earned 30 minutes of uninterrupted time with her. A rare gift. "She is in her room," Martha said, still dressed from the night's mission.
"Thank you."
I walked down the hall. She received her first touch this eve. I stumbled to a stop and felt a deep fissure split down my heart. It was not imagination. I actually felt it break. A true physical pain.
"Who?"
I whispered, fighting back the lump from my throat. The tears came to my eyes regardless. I had known this day was coming. I knew it was deemed a blessing, yet I could not feel the joy in my heart that I knew I must. All I could think of was little Sapphira. She was 11 years old. Prophet David had sent some men here for a visit. One of them chose her from the lineup. Martha came closer and laid her hand on my shoulder. Her smile was bright. "I can see the pain on your face, but she has won the prophet's favor tonight." I nodded, numbly, knowing what I should be feeling, yet I could not. I was aware the devil must have entered my soul to make me doubt our prophet and the ways of our faith, but I could not rejoice. "I must go to her," I said.
"Phoebe, I love you, but you must sever the tie you have held on to. It is causing you to feel a burden you should be free from."
I looked at Martha's face and saw only sympathy.
"I was there with you, through it all, as you were with me. I have let go. Now you must."
"I cannot," I said softly. I laid my hand over my heart. "I have never been able to comply." I turned from Martha and with heavy feet walked to Sapphira's room. I held my hand at her door, bracing to knock, but my hand remained suspended in the air. My breathing came too fast. What awaited me on the other side of the door? I entered the dimly lit room. Only a single candle burned in the corner. Her bed was empty.
"Sapphira?"
My heart was in my throat. A gentle sniff came from beside her bed. Numbly, I let my feet lead me, and I found her in the corner of the room, her arms around her knees. Her long blonde hair veiled her face, the ends curling on the floor.
"Safi?"
I whispered, using my affectionate name for her, my tears thickening at the sight of her so tiny on the ground. Safi lifted her head. Even in this soft glow, her dark eyes were huge and round and filled with pain.
"Phoebe?"
she said, too quietly. I stepped closer. Her beautiful face scrunched up and sobs burst from her throat. Instinctively, I flew to her side, called by her pain, and took her in my arms. Her slim body fell into my embrace, and her tears soaked my dress.
"Shh,"
I tried to soothe her, rocking her gently. But I knew it was no use. I had been here too. I remembered that day as though it had occurred just recently. So I simply held her. I kissed her head as she expelled all her tears. I smelled her hair, trying to memorize the scent. I squeezed her tighter, memorizing how much she had grown since she was last in my arms, too long ago. I tried to savor everything about this moment.
"Shh,"
I soothed again, and felt a morsel of relief when Sapphira's sobs ebbed and her breathing calmed.
"Safi,"
I guided her head from my chest and smoothed the hair back from her face. Her porcelain skin was mottled with redness, and her eyes were puffy and raw.
"Sweetheart,"
I said, Looking into her searching eyes and feeling my own vision glimmer, I closed my eyes, chasing away my tears, and looked down upon her again. I forced a smile.
Martha told me.
Safi edged closer to me, and I held her tighter.
I did not think she would speak. Too many seconds stretching in silence until she said,
He hurt me.
Those words, those simply spoken words, packed with such a heavy confession, were my undoing. I felt the fabric of my soul rip apart as I held her in my arms, helpless to do anything to help.
I know. I pressed a kiss to her head.
Safi placed her hand on her lower stomach.
I did not like it as Brother John said I would.
I did not think I could take it. I did not think I could ever move from this spot. I could not let her go. I could not be sent away from her anymore. But I knew I had no choice.
I know, I said again. The pathetic words tasted like acid on my tongue.
But it will get better. Next time will not be so bad.
Safira stared at me in panic.
I do not want there to be a next time. Please, sister, I cannot. I do not think I can.
Her bottom lip trembled.
Please.
Sister. The word cycled through my head.
I want to come and live with you.
She got to her knees, her little beautiful face before mine. She had matured since I had been here last. Her face was losing her childish features and morphing into a young woman's. I ran my finger over her cheeks, smiling through my tears when I saw the spray of freckles dotted on her nose. A few lay on her cheeks, one larger one to the side of her eye. It was beautiful. She was beautiful, so perfect in my eyes.
Please, she begged again. You are my sister. We are blood, Phoebe. Let me come and live with you. I will be good.
This time I could not hold back my tears, and they fell hot and salty down my cheeks.
I know, my sweetheart, I said with as much strength as I could muster. But it is not the way. Brother John and Prophet David would never allow it.
I brought my forehead closer to hers and closed my eyes.
If I could, I would take you to my home and keep you safe.
I smiled, picturing that heaven in my head.
I would care for you and read to you at night until you fell asleep in my arms.
What would you read?
She laid her head on my shoulder.
Whatever you wished, I said, stroking the hair from her face.
I kissed her head again and felt her body grow heavy with tiredness.
I would like that, she said sleepily. I miss you, Phoebe. I want you with me always. But when I ask, they tell me to be patient.
She shook her head.
I am not so good with patience, I think.
She sighed, nudging her cheek into a more comfortable position. I squeezed her as tightly as I could without hurting her. I clenched my eyes together, ridding them of water.
I miss you too, sweetheart.
I could not take the pain in my heart. Such devastating pain. I needed more drink. I needed to forget. The drink, the potion, made me forget. I opened my eyes and wiped away the water clouding my vision, preparing to search for more alcohol. When my focus improved, I took in the sight before me. A thick covering of trees surrounded wherever I was. My eyebrows pulled down in confusion, and I swallowed the dryness from my throat. Nerves built inside me as I tried to remember why I was here. This was not Lila's home. It was not New Zion.
Meister.
Ice trickled down my spine and my heart kicked into an erratic beat. Had he found me somehow? A faint clattering noise came from somewhere behind me. I froze. My muscles strained. I steadied my breathing as I worked up the courage to turn. I was not sure I could move, but I had to. If it was Meister, he would not leave me alone for long. I turned and looked cautiously through the windows of the truck, using its body as a shield. A few yards away was a small wooden house with what looked like a fire pit and a couple of chairs beside it. The front door was open. Another clattering noise drifted from inside. Fear ran thick in my veins as I tried to see through the windows. I could see someone moving inside, but could not see beyond blurred shapes and the reflection of the rising sun off the glass pane. I tried frantically to think of last night, of the days leading up to this moment, but my memories were scattered and difficult to pin down. The pounding in my head made it almost impossible to think straight. I glanced around me, looking for a path, a way out, when suddenly I heard someone approaching the front door from inside. I crouched against the side of the truck, my heart racing. I peered over the hood, and in the gloom of the hallway I glimpsed a pair of booted feet, then denim-clad legs, a hand holding three full trash bags. And then he stepped out into the light. AK. I sagged against the truck. He brought the bags to the truck and threw them into the back. There were many bags there already. He wiped his head with his forearm. I could not take my eyes from him, from his large frame, his many tattoos, his dark hair in disarray. AK pulled a cigarette from his back pocket and brought it to his mouth. The smell of smoke drifted on the breeze. He moved to the driver's side door, opened it, and reached inside. He pulled out the leather that had cradled my head as I slept. It was his vest, the one that showed he was with the hangman. He put it on over his tank and looked around. I didn't have time to pretend I was not hiding before his gaze met mine. I pushed away from the truck and brushed my fingers through my hair. I looked down and saw for the first time what I was dressed in. Soft black pants, which were too big but held up by the string around my waist, and a black tank with the devil on the front. On my feet were sandals. AK's boots crunched on the gravel as he walked around the hood of the truck and stopped before me. I kept my head down. My face set on fire when I realized I was standing next to the vomit on the ground. "How you feeling?" AK's deep voice cut through my embarrassment. I lifted my head and saw the concern in his eyes. I opened my mouth to give him the rote falsehood that was my usual answer to such questions, but something within me would not let me speak such things. The way AK watched me, the way his dark eyes penetrated mine, I knew he would sense the deception. So I answered honestly. "Terrible." I felt my stomach sink at how weak I had become. "No doubt," he said. "Come in. I've finished cleaning it now. Wasn't going to bring you in until I'd got it livable again." I watched AK's back as he walked away. He stopped near the front door and turned. "The sun's almost up, and with the motherfucker of a hangover that's going to be coming your way, I wouldn't want to be standing out in the sun too long." I looked up to the sky, to the cloudless morning and the bright sun beginning to spread its rays. The bright light felt like daggers in my eyes. I walked toward the small cabin. It looked different to AK's home, smaller and less refined, yet it still held a kind of charm. Arms folded across my waist, I walked across the threshold of the house. The walls were wooden, as were the floors. The floor was gleaming and smelled fresh of lemons. To the right, there was a kitchen area with a small table. The white cabinets looked old and chipped, but they too were freshly cleaned. Faded sofas sat to the left, with a table in front of them. There were three other doors that led to somewhere else. I edged in further, noticing more. The walls were bare but for several heads of animals that were mounted on plaques. I stepped closer to one of the walls. Several faded spots marred the old wood, square and rectangle shapes where there had clearly once been pictures or paintings of some sort. But they were gone now. I caught a flicker of movement from my right. AK was walking out of one of the doors. He saw me at the wall, and his face clouded with something I could not decipher. He turned and walked to the kitchen. He opened the refrigerator and pulled out a bottle of orange juice. He poured it into a glass. "Sit at the table," he said. Still not knowing where we were or why we were here, why I was here with him, I did as I was told. As I sat down, I placed my hand over my stomach, fighting back the need to purge. I wondered if AK kept any alcohol in his kitchen, hidden in a cabinet somewhere. A glass of orange juice was placed before me. AK moved to another cupboard and took out a small bottle. "Take these with the juice," AK said, sitting down in the other seat beside me and placing two blue pills on the tabletop. "What are these?" I took hold of the juice with shaking hands.
"Gonna help with the head," he replied. "Take them."
I forced the pills down my throat with the juice, then put the glass down when I could stomach no more. The silence was thick between us.
The few times I found the courage to look up at AK, he was watching me, and his expression looked angry. His skin was marked with scratches, red and thick, on his cheeks, neck, and chest. I had no memory of it, but I had a sinking suspicion it had been me who caused him such injury. "Ear marks?" I asked, filled with dread. Was that me? AK raised his eyebrow. "You don't remember?" Embarrassed at the confirmation, I shook my head. I was silent for a minute, then I asked, "Where are we? Why are we here?" AK pushed his fingers through his hair. I could not tear my gaze from his strong eyes and his handsome face. "I'll tell you later. Right now, you need to sleep. You still got the liquor in your blood, and it's gonna be a real fucking bitch when it's all gone and it brings the fucking pain." My pulse raced at the thought of not having the drink. I liked the drink. It numbed me from the thoughts that were always swimming in my head. I liked how it made me feel. "I need it." My eyes roved around the kitchen, searching. "Ain't none here and ain't none coming. Dry as a fucking desert." His voice was harsh, his tone daring me to contest. But I was tired, and my headache was growing worse. AK rose from his seat. "Come with me." Knowing I had no other choice, I followed him through one of the doors into a bedroom. There were two small, narrow beds. Between them was a small table holding a lamp. "Take whichever you want. I got fresh sheets and all that shit on there. Stopped at a store on the way while you slept in the truck. Got food, too. We won't need anything more until we're done here." I understood what his words meant. He was to keep me here, where there was no drink and none of Meister's potion. Just him and me and the thoughts I never wanted to acknowledge. I did not think I could do it. Feeling drained, pulled by the lure of the bed, I walked to the one farthest away and nervously sat on the edge. AK hovered in the doorway. "I'll bring you food, but sleep for now." He leaned against the doorframe, his muscles bulging in his arms. He was so tall he took up the entire space. "It ain't gonna be pretty over the next couple of days. You've been on a 7-day bender, and for that, you gotta pay the price." My jaw clenched with a sudden flash of anger. He had no right to keep me from drinking if that was what I so wished. He must have seen my anger in my face as his expression darkened. "There ain't none here, bitch, and I wouldn't try and fucking cross me. No one's gonna take your shit, especially me. Took on much worse fuckers than you. We're miles from anywhere, and there won't be no one coming here but me and you." He spread his arms. "Welcome to hell." With that, AK turned around and shut the door. I glared at the space he had been occupying, wanting to follow him and protest. But my mind reminded me of things he had already done for me, and I didn't move. He was a hard and dangerous man. Yet strangely, I felt no fear around him. Called by the comfort of the mattress, I rolled back the exceptionally neat covers and climbed inside. The frame creaked under me, and I closed my eyes. I must have been tired, as I did not remember falling asleep. And for once, I did not dream. I did not think of her. When I woke, it was to purge into the bucket beside the bed. The room was darker than before, so I knew that night had fallen. I emptied my stomach of the food and liquids AK had been waking me to eat during the day, my body unable to keep them down. I groaned as I managed to thrust myself back to lie on the bed. I stayed still, holding my breath, until the room fell back into focus. I felt drained and sick, and every part of me ached. I was thirsty, and when I looked at the table beside me, there was a full glass of water and two pills waiting for me. AK had been giving them to me throughout the day. They helped some, but not enough. Nothing would be enough. I concentrated on moving my limbs as I brought myself to a sitting position. I took the pills, drained the glass, and realized I needed the bathroom. It took me a full minute to convince myself to move. There was no sign of AK as I exited the bedroom and went down the hall. I used the bathroom, then looked in the mirror above the sink. Dark circles ringed under my eyes. My cheeks were sallow and gray. I looked a mess. I had to turn away when a sudden grip of emotion took hold of my heart,
Who was this woman? I had no idea anymore. I walked slowly into the kitchen, my body protesting with each step. I filled another glass of water, and when I turned, caught the orange glow from a fire outside. I did not want to sleep anymore, and I craved fresh air about as much as I craved another drink, so I went outside. AK was sitting on a chair next to the fire pit. The flames were high and the moon was bright, casting a glow around AK, who was staring, lost in thought, at the crackling, burning wood. I didn't know whether to approach him or leave him alone. I stood for a moment, debating what I should do. Eventually, I stepped closer, strangely unwilling to turn away. There was a second chair beside him. Still clutching my glass of water, I sat down, exhaling in relief as my pained body found some semblance of comfort. Without meeting his eyes, I said, "Thank you for the pills and water." AK did not speak. I looked at him to make sure he had heard me and found him watching me. His head was lying back against the chair, and one of his hands was across his chest. He nodded silently. I studied the small wooden home in this light, and found myself feeling more at peace than I had in a long time. Out here was quiet, and as hard as it was for me to admit, it was free of Lila. It was free from her scar, and worse, seeing her with Grace. Seeing her stroke Grace's hair and kiss her head. Reading to her as she fell asleep, safe. It freed me somewhat of the pain I could only calm with a bottle of alcohol. "I like it out here," I said, searching for a distraction from my thoughts. "Is this home yours?" AK tensed beside me.
"Yeah,"
he said gruffly. I faced him, confused by the tone of sadness in his voice. AK turned his head away from me, looking out at the trees on the opposite side of the clearing. "AK?" I eventually dared ask. Why am I here?" As I had noticed he did whenever he was nervous or unsure of broaching a topic, he pulled out a cigarette and lit it, taking a long, deep drag. He blew out the smoke into the warm night.
"You weren't yourself. You needed to get the fuck away from the club so you could stop with all the drinking shit."
I bit my lip in embarrassment, racking my now more alert brain to remember something from this past week. I had flashes, intermittent memories, but as I gazed upon AK's scratched skin, I felt my face drain. Images of me and him in his kitchen came to my head. I was against the wall and "We fucked," I said. It was not a question. I knew it to be true. I brought one hand to AK's face. He kept still, but his dark eyes remained on me as I traced the marks, the prints exactly fitting the size of my hand. "And I hurt you."
"You weren't yourself," he repeated tightly. I thought he would knock my hand away, dispel my touch, but he did not.
I stared into his eyes, and he stared back into mine. "Why?" I asked, baffled. "Why would you bring me here? I am no concern of yours." I lowered my eyes in an attempt to block my building tears. The lack of alcohol was bringing forth the emotions I had long kept locked away deep within me. "I am not of consequence to anyone but Lila, I suppose." My stomach dropped. And though I do not remember, I am presuming she did not agree with how I have been lately.
"I got my reasons, Red," AK said, using that name he had called me when he saved me from Meister.
I faced him again, and something swirled in my stomach at the way he regarded me. His dark eyes were soft and kind.
"Question is," he said, turning his body further toward me, "why did you turn to the drink in the first place?"
My heart beat so quickly I could hear its rhythm in my ears. I took a long drink of water, feeling the flames heat my cheeks. I knew, of course. I knew why I had turned to drink. The pain I had lived with since I was 12 years old. The pain that time had not lessened, but had only cut deeper with each passing day. But I could not tell AK what haunted me most. I could not bear the judgment I would receive for what I allowed to happen. I was a failure, and now I paid the price. The drink took that away. so I bared another regret. I watched. I watched them trial her. I watched Judah declare her a heretic of our faith. I watched as she cried and received lashes, as the crowd booed her and called her a whore. Then her eyes met with mine. I sobbed, choking, seeing that day as if I were still living it. Her eyes met mine, and within them I did not see fear, but resignation. I only realized that tears were falling down my cheeks when I looked at AK and his image was blurred. I blinked them away and shook my head. AK watched me with those same kind dark eyes. The day you took me to her. I closed my eyes and replayed how her scarred face lit with light when her blue eyes fell upon me. I did not know she had harmed herself, AK. I had no idea that she could not bear children due to her ordeal. I gripped tightly to the glass in my hands, noting idly that the water was swishing from side to side. I was trembling. AK clearly noticed.
You don't gotta tell me no more.
No, I protested. I have to. Now that I had spoken, I could not stop. I needed to say this out loud. I remember them taking her away when she was a child, AK. I remember crying that my sister, my best friend, had gone. But I believed that what they said of her was true, that her beauty was given by the devil and that she was a blight on our faith. And I believed that the prophet would save her. AK, I remember rejoicing that she would be exorcised. I was happy. But that day, when she was tried and I saw her again, more beautiful than I could have imagined, I saw in her eyes that the Rebecca I knew was gone, that something had robbed her of life, the light I knew she had once possessed. I cleared my throat. Then I followed her to Perdition Hill and saw what the men of my faith had done to her. Pain stabbed at my heart. I saw this, AK, my baby sister, my best friend as a child. When I saw her at her home, revealing she was scarred and unable to conceive, I could not bear it. I took a deep breath. I found the bottle on Kai's porch, and it made me forget. Deeper, darker thoughts threatened to break through, but I pushed them away. I could not cope with them all right now. I did not want to be aware of anything. The drink took it all away. You were a victim of that fucking cult too, you know. My head snapped to him in surprise. Something passed over his face, and in a move that shocked me even more than his understanding, he raised his hand and brushed the tears from my cheeks. His palm opened, and I rested my head against it. I was not a victim, I said when my tight throat would allow. I was complicit. I watched my sister get hurt and did nothing. I am no better than those who hurt her. I was talking of Lila, but I saw something else in my head. I was complicit in something much, much worse, something unforgivable. You're wrong, Red, he said, and though his words found a corner in my heart to burrow in, I could never believe that they were true. AK held me as I cried. I did not understand why he did, but I took comfort in his kindness. No man had bestowed on me such grace before. I opened my raw, swollen eyes. AK was still watching me, like a guardian angel. A devil with angel eyes. I'll tell you one thing, Red. Liquor is a good servant, but a fucking cruel master. You keep going the way you were, and you'll be more than fucked. He slid his hand from my face, and I instantly missed its warmth. Sitting back in his chair, he gestured to the house. You're here to make sure Liquor becomes your bitch again, not the other way around. Despite the weakness in my body and the emotions dripping from my heart, I found myself smiling at his strange use of words. Perhaps he found it amusing, too. I was convinced that under his handsome, dark demeanor, I saw the tug of a smile. A yawn tore from my mouth, and tiredness crashed into me at full force. You need sleep, AK said. I completely agreed. Sleep as much as you can over the next couple of days. If you sleep, you won't feel as bad. You've dealt with this before? I asked, and by the subtle flinch of his head,
I knew it was true. His expression said it all. I left AK by the fire. As I entered the house, I glanced through the kitchen window at the mysterious man that had somehow become my compass in this outside world. His body slumped in his chair, and his head was in his hands. For a minute, I thought I saw his shoulders shaking as though he were breaking apart into tears, but I was sure it was just the trick of the light. AK was a strong man with, I believed, a beautiful heart. I was sure nothing could make him crumble. I wished I had a morsel of his strength. In minutes, I was in my bed and drifting to sleep. My burdens felt slightly lighter somehow, and there was only one man to thank for that. The devil's man, with angel eyes. Chapter 14. Phoebe. I woke to the now familiar sounds of birds chirping and the breeze rustling through the leaves. I braced myself for the sickness, for the exhaustion I had felt every day since we had arrived. But I smiled in relief when I felt only muted tones of those pains today. I had been sleeping on and off for 2 days. I slept, ate, showered, then slept again. I had purged more than I ever thought possible, and slowly, I began to feel better. I breathed more easily, walked more easily, talked more easily. Everything just felt easier. The weight in my chest a little easier to bear. I showered and dressed in my favorite one of the dresses AK had packed for me. It was olive green. I ran a comb through my hair, then made my way outside, where I knew AK would be. Since our arrival, he had spent most of his time outside. It was as though he could not stand to be inside this home. Sometimes, when I had awoken to use the bathroom in the middle of the night, I had seen him outside, awake in a chair by the fire pit, not sleeping again. He was sitting at a table at the side of the house. A large rusty trunk sat beside him, and several pieces of black metal and plastic were strewn about the tabletop. His hair was pulled back off his face and tied back in a bun. I could not recall ever seeing his face so clearly before. His concentration was fully on the task as he cleaned the pieces in front of him with excruciatingly meticulous detail. I walked to where he sat and saw him flicker his brown eyes to me. "You look better," he said, and carried on cleaning the small, fat piece of metal in his hands. "I feel better." I looked down at the worn trunk at his side. It was full to the brim with shapes I thought I recognized. A thick layer of dust lay over each one. "Are those guns?" I asked in confusion, wondering why he owned so many. AK stopped cleaning, but he didn't meet my eyes. "Yeah." "They look old," I said, wanting him to speak, needing some form of conversation. He had been so quiet and subdued since we arrived here. I did not know him that well, but I sensed that he was not usually this quiet. AK shrugged. "About 15 to 20 years old. Some are newer, about 7 years." His expression was tight, as were his muscles. Each one was corded and strained. He was dressed in a black tank and dark jeans. As he recommenced cleaning, I allowed my eyes to scan over his skin. His tattoos were many, boasting many different images. A large depiction of a gun, not too dissimilar to the one he was cleaning, stood out most. "You like guns?" AK's lip hooked up at the corner. "Could say that." "Why is that amusing?" AK laid down the final piece of metal he was cleaning, and then, at a breathtaking speed, proceeded to join all the pieces together. His gaze was intent on his task, his lips pursed. Even when a strand of hair fell from his bun, he was not distracted. In what felt like seconds, the random metal fragments that had once littered the tabletop had morphed into a gun. AK pulled something on the top of the device, and it clicked into place. He placed it down on the table and sat back, sighing deeply. "That was impressive." I could not help but smile. I had never seen anything like it before. Seeming suddenly shy, AK lowered his eyes, but I saw the flicker of a smile on his lips. He leaned back in his chair. "You know what this gun is called?" I shook my head. "I know nothing of guns at all. The prophet's disciples would carry them in the commune, but the females did not touch them. They are only for men." "One," he held up a finger, "they ain't just for men. And two, This here gun is called an AK-47.
AK-47. Realization dawned.
AK, I said, feeling as though I had just solved a huge mystery. You were named after a gun?
I was confused. Who would do that to a child?
I have a name, Phoebe. AK just became my nickname at the hangman, because I'm good with guns. Styx's old man saw me shoot, and my road name was born.
That is why you have so many guns? Because you are good with them?
He nodded, but stiffly, as if that was not the entire story.
So, what is your real name? I asked.
AK shifted uncomfortably in his seat. Xavier. Xavier Charles Days.
Xavier, I smiled. I liked how it sounded on my tongue. I like this name.
I repeated it in my head once again. I prefer it to the gun name. But I ain't that person no more. So I go by AK now. Suits who I am now. Xavier died a fucking long time ago.
And who are you now? I asked, confused by the dark turn this conversation had taken.
A hangman, and not Xavier fucking Days.
AK leaned down, clearly ending the conversation, and took another dusty gun from the trunk. With the same speed as he had put the other together, he pulled it apart. I watched in silence as he made quick work of cleaning it and putting it back together. He placed it down, and I saw that he had a pile of glistening guns on a blanket to the other side of his feet.
You like to shoot?
My question stilled his movements.
Yeah.
He cocked his head to the side. You? I laughed. I could not help it.
No,
I sputtered. I have not even held one in my hands before. I would not even know where to begin. AK picked up a gun from the pile beside him and laid it before me. I stared at the large gun and screwed up my face. I would have no idea how to operate such a thing. AK took another gun in his hand.
Then I'll show you.
He got to his feet, and any awkwardness he had harbored minutes ago seemed to have disappeared. He was confident with the gun in his hand, transformed. He picked up the gun he wanted me to use.
Come with me.
I rose from my seat and followed his retreating form. AK led the way through the trees, stopping at the edge of a small field. 5 trees were in the distance, a brightly painted wooden plaque affixed to each trunk.
Targets, AK said, as if reading my mind. You aim, shoot, and try to hit one.
Impossible.
Not at all, Red. You just need a good teacher.
I turned and smiled. Are you that good teacher? I asked teasingly. His eyes flared at the smile on my face and humor in my voice.
Too right I fucking am.
He came closer and took one of my hands. His palm and fingers felt rough in my own. He works hard, I thought. Worked with his hands. A sudden image of those hands on my breasts slammed into my mind. More memories followed, of his fingers cupping my behind as he thrust into me, of his fingers stroking along my core before slipping inside and making me scream. My cheeks heated at the memory, and when I looked up, AK had closed in until he was just an inch away. He put his finger under my chin and lifted my face.
What's got you blushing like this, Red?
He stroked that finger over my cheek.
Like all your fucking freckles have joined up.
Avoiding the truth, I said, I hate my freckles. It was a pathetic attempt at distraction, so I was struck mute when he leaned in even closer, his hot breath over my face, and said, I fucking love them. I swallowed, feeling my nipples harden and my breathing become erratic.
You do?
He murmured, and stepped closer still. I had to stop a moan from escaping my mouth when I felt the bulge in his jeans harden. My breath hitched, and a slow grin tugged on AK's lips. He brought the gun in between us and placed my hand on top. I felt dizzy with heat as he stepped back. Hands on my shoulders, he turned me to face the targets on the trees. His mouth came to my ear as he stood at my back. I shivered.
Concentrate,
he said, his voice low. I closed my eyes. I am finding it difficult to do that with you this close. AK's deep, rough laughter split through the air. He did not respond, but instead lifted the gun higher in my hands. He moved one of my hands to the underside of the gun and the other to a switch.
Trigger, he said, guiding my fingertip along the smooth metal. Barrel.
He ran his fingers over my hand that was placed on the underside of the rifle. He made sure the bottom of the gun was tucked under my arm.
Hold it firmly, like this.
He ran his hand up to my hair, guiding my head with his palm. Another glimpse of a memory flashed before my eyes. Me, between his thighs, kneeling at his manhood. I swallowed, suddenly able to taste him on my tongue.
You're blushing again,
he teased, his lips scraping past my earlobe. I am remembering, I confessed breathlessly. I allowed my mind to show me what came next. I had climbed on his lap and ridden him, slowly, back and forth, his hands roaming over my behind and thighs.
Yeah?
AK growled. You and me, I said. Outside your home. I turned my head until my lips brushed against his. I breathed, and he breathed, sharing the same air. Warm, then hot. You took me. My chest was rising and falling in hard movements. AK chuckled into my mouth and licked along the seam of my lips with his tongue. I groaned at the feel, my breasts aching.
No, bitch. Heat flooded my core as he said, You fucking took me.
AK dragged his nose along my cheek and then carefully turned me back to face the trees. His hand guided my head downward until my eyes were looking through a lens on the top of the gun. His torso was flush against my back. I felt him everywhere. Within me, behind me, my senses breaching their capacity.
Concentrate, he ordered again.
My back straightened as I tried to do as he asked. I blinked, seeing the tree targets up close through the lens. Taking my hand from the trigger, he brought it to a small black switch on the side of the gun.
Safety.
He pulled my hand back. The gun clicked, and he guided me back to the trigger.
Line up the cross in the lens with the bullseye, the center point, on the target. Wait until your hand is steady, and take the shot.
I did as he said, then felt his hand tighten on my finger on the trigger. I let calmness run through me.
When you're ready, pull the trigger.
I counted to three and pulled down on the trigger. The loud bang of the bullet flying from the barrel caused birds to scatter into the sky around us, but I barely noticed due to the sudden pain in my shoulder. I stumbled back, and AK wrapped his thick arms around me to stop me falling. I gasped as I tried to breathe.
Welcome to the kickback, he said, and laughed dryly.
I blinked my sight back into focus, then looked straight ahead. I saw a bullet mark in the first tree, the one closest to where we stood. A laugh pealed from my throat when I saw that I had not hit the intended target. Rather, I had taken a chunk out of the wood of the tree. The laugh poured from my throat, and water built in my eyes. I held the gun close to me as I tried to gain composure, but it was no use. I had not laughed like this in... I was not sure I ever had.
Phoebe?
AK asked, but I could hear the lightness in his voice. He relaxed his hold on me, and I turned toward him. He kept his hands braced on my back as though he was not yet ready to let me go.
The shot, I snorted, which only made me laugh harder. It did not even come close to the target.
I threw my head back as another wave of amusement hit me. My throat and chest ached from my laughter. When I finally managed to calm, I wiped my eyes and looked at AK. He was watching me with his lips pursed. I fell silent. AK stayed unmoving. Just as I was about to ask him what was wrong, he stepped forward and pushed me back against the tree behind us. My back scraped against the rough bark. He took the gun from my hands and threw it to the ground. Then AK's lips were crushing mine, his tongue pushing into my mouth. I moaned as I tasted him on my tongue, the flavor of him familiar and so very wanted. His hands ran down my sides and held me still. I felt his hardness against my stomach and heard his low groan, the vibration from his chest ricocheting through mine. My core became wet as he pressed himself against me. Then he broke away, breathless and muscles tense. He caught his breath.
You need to fucking laugh more, Red. It looks real fucking good on you.
My hands were shaking as they held his hard biceps.
AK stepped back, then back again, ripping the tie from his hair. His dark hair tumbled forward as he